You're listening to UIC Radio, where music and culture ignite. Oh my God, it's good to be back. Holy UIC Radio. Oh man. First of all, welcome to Household Dragons, the brand new show with that same old voice. Dr. Professor Jonah Nink, as I'm sometimes called. Not really, no one's ever called me that. Please don't call me that, actually. That would be very, very sad. This is our first in-studio episode of the year. You might be thinking, that doesn't sound right. This is your first episode of the year. You're not true. There's actually already an episode up on the SoundCloud right now. Feel free to check that out. But I'm getting ahead of myself because we have a guest in the studio right now, and I'm pretty excited. He's very funny. I know him personally, and he's just a cool guy. Please welcome everybody, Mr. Daniel Schmult. Yeah. Woo!
Hello.
No one else is clapping.
Hello.
How you doing today, dude?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, Daniel, I know you from a little thing called the Black Sheep?
That would be the Black Sheep,
The Black Sheep. All right. Now, tell us what that is. Is that some kind of disease that you get from being on the 8 bus on your way to school every morning?
It's actually the 157 bus down Taylor.
God. Oh, man.
It's a rough one. But the Black Sheep, I guess, it's kind of up and coming here at UIC, but it's college media brand kind of going all around the country right now. We're at over like 50 some campuses.
Yeah,
where I like to describe it as like the Onion for college kids.
Of course.
It's like satire, all that good stuff, you know, social media heavy. I don't know, we just have a good time, make fun of stuff.
I'm a little biased because I happen to write for the Black Sheep.
Yep.
Or so I'm told. I keep sharing these articles with my name on them. I keep assuming.
We just slap your name on them and just tag you.
Thanks.
I write them and just I'm like, this guy seems like he'll share them. So.
I think that's illegal, but I like it. I like your initiative.
Yeah.
All right, so I kind of want to start this thing off just by asking, like, so why are you taking time out of your precious day to do this Black Sheep thing? What got you into it? Why? Why? Explain.
Why? I don't know, man. I've always been kind of like humor driven and wanted to get into like comedy scene some way.
Yeah.
As far as like being up on stage in front of people, I am terrible at that.
Yeah.
Draw a blank whenever I'm up like doing anything like that. But originally going into school, like I wanted to go like write for screen and like do screenwriting type of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially like humor driven stuff. So like comedy stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I saw, like, the Black Sheep at UIUC, so our cooler older brother, you know.
Oh, Urbana.
U of I, what I usually call it until
ew.
I started getting more familiar with people calling it UIUC.
I always call it Urbana, but in, like, a slightly pissed off way.
Urbana.
Oh, Urbana.
But, yeah, so it's really weird how I found it. Like, some kid from high school, they do this thing at Urbana, I guess I'll call it like that, like you said it.
Yeah.
They do a thing called Bartender of the Week,
okay.
Where they do a bartender every week. They like do a feature piece.
Yeah.
So I was actually sitting in my dentist's office, and I was just scrolling through Facebook on my phone, and this kid from my high school shared him being featured as Bartender of the Week.
Okay.
And I was like, what is this? Because like, I saw his name I saw his name on like an article. I was like, oh, this is like a legit website. And I looked at it, and I just kind of went through the website and saw it,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like their tone, everything they go for, like how I don't want to say like how they're the Black Sheep,
yeah,
but they are the Black Sheep.
Okay.
And I don't know, man, it just kind of drove me there, and like, yeah,
and the rest was history.
And the rest, it's history in the writing right now. We're making it right now, baby.
So what's your position right now?
I am the content team manager, so pretty much I oversee everything going down at UIC's campus.
Mm-hmm.
As well as an editorial fellow in the office. So it's on Wabash.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I kind of have a team of writers at a bunch of different schools who I oversee there and kind of help them out.
Now, we'll dig more into that, all the Black Sheep stuff coming up in a minute. But a little earlier you mentioned like live stand-up comedy and how like hard and difficult that is. You've tried it, right?
Like once.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Just in front of like a few people, and it was enough to make me be like, I can't get on stage. I will die.
Were you at like a full on stand up comedy?
No, dude, I was in front of like people I knew, and I was just like, I don't want to do this.
Oh man, this one time. So I have some weird experiences with live stand-up just because
you've touched on it
with
me a while ago.
I'm dipping my toe in the water, but
want to do it, but it just sucks.
I think eventually I am trying to like do it, but the first time I really did it, actually, I went to an open mic the first time. I signed up and everything, but I completely chickened out.
That's exactly how I imagine it going.
Nope.
100%.
And then about a month later, I'm like, God, I gotta do this at least once. Right?
Yeah.
I gotta. So it's funny because it's an amazing experience, one of these stand-up comedy open mics. To everyone listening, I almost want to tell you to go to one. Just go and watch one because it's incredible because what it is it's it's about 50 guys, right? Or like 50 people mm-hmm. of all shapes and sizes. And they're all packed into this little like hole in the wall bar, and the bar it's one of those where like the whole front side of the bar opens, you know, and so it's like a big, you know, like those big windows.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
ever been to Bocce's Pizza?
Yeah, okay.
Before?
That, yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
that setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's imagine like 50 to 60 people crammed into this room. All of them are
50 people in Bocce's Pizza.
50 people in Bocce's. It's terrible, and so it's 50 people in there. And they're all stand-up comics, right? They're all there to do their 3 minutes that they've been rehearsing for days
weeks.
Or years or weeks or seconds even. They're all they're all getting ready to do it. And they all sign up, and then it starts. And you're one of them, too. You've been doing your bit. You're ready to go. And, you know, you've been just crying in your room, prepping yourself for this terrible experience.
Rehearsing in the shower.
Rehearsing in the
Telling
shower.
Telling jokes to the soap, dude.
Of course.
Oh, man.
But, so you go, and then, oh, my God, it's insane. Everyone, doesn't matter who they are, everyone is terrible. Everyone sucks, including you. In fact, you're extra terrible.
You're the worst.
And not you, Daniel, but like hypothetical you. Yeah. And you suck.
You're the worst
awful.
One there. 100%. That's how I imagine it being.
Everyone, including you, especially you, sucks. Except for one guy. One guy always kills it. One guy should be a professional, and the one guy often is a professional. And I kid you not, you are, and doesn't matter how many times you go, you will always be right after that one guy. You will always be right. I remember my actual time doing it after I chickened out the first time. It was, so I'm like number 37, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting ready. And then number 36 gets called, and he comes up, big guy, older guy. And then he does this amazing bit. I couldn't tell you what the jokes were. I had no idea what topic he was talking about. But he was like, I remember he was like really lively. He was dancing at one point. He was singing. All in like the space of like 3.5 minutes. It's just this whole like tour de force show. And
you're just sitting there sweating.
I'm just sitting there like, oh. And then and everybody's like, all right, everybody, thank you for number 36. Big round of applause. And he gets off. And then he's like, oh, number 37, get on up here. It's time. It's your time to shine.
You're like, oh.
And I get up there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, yes, this is my joke that I wrote. and then it's just me gasping
trying
for air.
Trying to figure it out.
For 3 minutes.
Trying to remember how to speak words.
I completely forgot the English language.
Yeah.
I think I spoke a little French, and then it was just.
That's impressive.
I learned French and then forgot it all in that last minute.
All on the stage.
And then you leave, everybody claps, and then you hate yourself.
You cry on the train home.
And then you're like, ugh,
never again.
But it's weird because then the minute you leave, it's like, oh, man, I want to do that again.
Yeah, that's how I imagine it'd be.
Yeah.
100%. Man, I can't, dude. I want to so bad. But.
I think it comes from, you just do that, like, you got to do that at least, like, 50 times.
Yeah, you
just got
to keep doing it.
You just
got to
keep doing it. You just got to keep
Until
going.
So you just don't care anymore. Like, what people, I mean, you got to go up there and not care what people think anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to go.
But, man, that's that, man. That's what we were talking about earlier before we went on. It's like, just starting to do something.
Just starting to do
Tomorrow
stuff.
I'll go.
Like, starting a podcast or a satire news site
thing
job. Just gotta do it. And that was our motivation for this episode. Let me be clear, we will not be giving any more motivation for the rest. That motivation
it.
is is the nectar of the masses. I don't do that. I don't live that life. But anyway, so going back to kind of the Black Sheep discussion, you were talking a little bit about screenwriting and all that good stuff, mm-hmm. and like screenwriting for comedy. That hits me where I live because I also kind of went into college with a similar intent. So how did you first get into that? Since you are my guest and yeah. we're learning about you.
Yes. Well, I guess in high school, I think it was my senior year, we had like our choice of like English class or whatever you yeah. have there. There was like a film one or whatever. So I took that and the teacher was super cool. And like our end of the year projector was just like, he gave us like a part of a script where it was like a couple lines, like incorporate this into like a 3-minute short.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And like, I remember like, it was like words, obviously. So like incorporate these lines into this short. And I was like, me and my buddy sat behind me and like, he does a lot of, I don't know what to call it. I'm blanking. I don't know. Oh, so like filmography, the camera. He holds the camera,
The camera thingy.
Yeah, DP, director of photography, but he's 16. He official. Was 18 at the time, so he definitely was not that. So, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, so, like, we were in a group together, and I wrote the script because, obviously, I've been into writing for a while now, but I wrote that script, and everybody else's kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. Theirs were god-awful.
Yeah.
And because they, one, shot them on, like, their iPhones. And two, just did the most, like, unoriginal stuff you could do with the lines he gave us.
Yeah.
And then I wrote them, like, the lines came up in a text message instead of people saying them. And I was like, I'm breaking ground here. I'm the
breaking new
best.
Ground.
I literally am going to be famous soon.
It's a mixed media project.
Yeah. no one was ready for it. And, like, my yeah. buddy had, like, a camera yeah. and stuff because he's done, like, stuff before. Like, he shot stuff before. And, like, he knew how to edit really well. So ours just, like, killed. And our teacher was, like, crying. He was like, this is the best thing ever. I'm showing this for until I die. He didn't say that, but I could see it.
Show it at his yeah, funeral.
Exactly. And then, so, I don't know, I kind of got the bug from that, and then a couple older of my buddies in high school were kind of into it, too, from, like, the same class. We yeah. were kind of just caught the bug there. And we would write occasionally. Nothing ever came of it, because we were like, how are we going to shoot this? No, we're not, because we're poor, and we're, like, 18, and I got to go work my job at Kohl's.
No, I got to work at Kohl's.
Exactly.
Let's see,
got to go fold some towels, dude. I can't be out here shooting movies.
Kohl's needs me.
Kohl's is the place to be. But, yeah, then I kind of came here, and I was like, hey, what do you want to study? I was like, I want to hang out, but I had no idea. I was like, I want to write stuff. So I went to English, and everyone's like, you're not going to get hired. I'm like, yeah, probably not, but...
Yeah, English life.
Yeah, it's the life. But, like, I kind of came in... I feel like it was different for me going into that program just because I kind of came in with, like, an intent and, like, a path that I knew I wanted to kind of get on.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is kind of just a stepping stone in, like, learning more about, like, what I want to do. And it's a lot of, like, being self-driven and kind of doing that stuff, which I think I kind of had those qualities going in. But yeah, dude, I was like, there's no like filmmaking major here, or there wasn't at the time, and it was like a minor in it somewhat now.
It's weird here because here it's like a film studies.
It's moving
type
image
thing.
Arts. That's yeah. what it's called. And like I've got a bunch of those classes, and I'm like, this is just my high school film class 9 times.
Exactly. That's
literally what it was.
I took one last year. I really enjoyed it.
It's but they're fun classes.
At the end
they're
of it,
cool.
I'm like, I'm not getting anything out of this.
Oh, like zero. It was my minor at first. I guess it's my minor right now, but I just kind of stopped taking classes last semester in it because I was like, I've taken almost all of them,
yeah,
and I don't want to take another class twice, and they're boring, and they're at 6 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that. God. But, yeah, dude, I don't know. That's how I got into that, I guess.
So you mentioned you're an English major. I am also an English major. Ooh, so does rough. That mean that everyone you run into who's not an English major – makes fun of you being an English major?
Dude, that's how it was. That's okay. It's kind of been like that, yeah. But dude, you know what? It's when I started the Black Sheep here, that's when it kind of stopped.
Okay.
Because I was like, I'm doing stuff.
You're doing stuff.
And everyone was like, you are doing stuff. And then once I got like hired over the summer to like come into their office and do stuff there, and I was like taking like Snapchats. I'm like, look, I'm in an office. I was like, all right, well, I guess he's not an idiot. So
they get worried. They think, oh man, he's doing stuff.
You know what I do now? Instead of saying I'm a professional. Or no, instead of saying I'm an English major, is saying I'm a professional writing major.
I do
that
too.
That's the concentration. And it sounds so much more better than just being like, I'm learning a language that I already know and speak fluently.
I think there's like a common misconception, or I hate to even call it a misconception, because it's kind of true. I think when people think English major, they think, oh, you're going to read Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
That's part of it.
Nine times. Oh, you're going to read, you're going to tell me the themes of Old Yeller as your job. No, but like, I think when paired with the right stuff, it's a really good thing to study, you know?
It's like, there's a really good program here too. I love the professors that I have for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, almost all of them are really cool, but I have one this semester. I had him last semester too. He always kind of preaches. He's like, with an English major, you can kind of do what, as long as you have some background in something else, like, you can kind of make what you want of it if you're going to go and do it. Like, if you're going to keep saying you're going to, like, we're like me and doing stand-up, which I'm probably never going to do, but, like, making money is something I have to do, I guess. So, like, that's where I'm like, yeah. Like, because there's so many routes to go with, like, the English, and especially, like, and once you get into, like, professional writing courses, I don't know if you're in that course load yet, but...
I think I probably will be.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm weird, because technically, I'm a declared comms major, because I thought that's what I wanted to do coming in, but I'm going to be an English major. Like, need, like, one
change. They kind of intertwine a little bit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to minor in comms, I think.
Yeah,
but
I thought about that, too.
My problem with the communication stuff is I feel like it's very one-trick, almost, because originally... I was going to be a journalism major, but then I found out that they didn't have that here. And I'm like, that's fine, because in hindsight, journalism major on paper feels like, oh, you only do one thing. You only write articles about parks opening for small towns in Idaho. I'm like, I'm not going to be like that. So I'm like, I'll be a comms major.
Mm-hmm.
And after taking the first few classes, I'm like, I feel like I'm only upgrading from only able to be doing one thing on paper to being able to do only like five things. So I think English seems like I can do at least 20 things, you know?
Yeah. No, the thing they preach in that program too is just like everyone's looking for people who can write, because most people can't write.
I always feel like there's a lot of, like with the internet nowadays, there's a lot of places for content, like a lot of websites,
but there's
a lack of good content.
Yeah, there's a lot of like doors opening for like the media and all that. That's the kind of like the opportunity I saw, especially like with the Black Sheep stuff. I was like, oh my God, this is like a company who like does stuff.
I actually interned way back in the day. I interned for like our town's local newspaper, and it was a really good experience. Like really great people worked there and all that, but there's like this overarching sense of dread throughout the whole office, because it was a print newspaper. It had an online component, but it was like one of those crappy subscription-based ones where you can only look at a certain number of articles and then you'd be kicked out of the site.
For your town newspaper?
Who
did they think they were? What?
Couldn't tell.
Everyone's trying to get the content here. That's
I know, right?
You got the good stuff. That's what they were
doing. No, it was crazy. Literally, you could only look at like three articles and then the entire page would just block out.
What town are you from?
I'm from St. Charles.
St. Charles, that world-class journalism.
World-class journalism.
Don't want to give it away. You can't give it away.
I know, because like local St. Charles events through the Kane County Chronicle, that's prime. Everybody wants to.
Oh, that's what everyone wants to see. New York Times? What's that?
What Chicago Tribune?
I think that's a Tribune.
Tribune? Tribune? No, but like everybody in the office, you know how most companies are like, yeah, I'm really optimistic about my job. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I think this is going to go to a place in the future. Everyone there is like, oh, just put out a new issue. You know, say your prayers. Because I was there. I'm like, oh, I'm ready to work. Let's make some newspapers. Let's do it. And then everybody there is like, yeah, let's make as many as we can.
Chain smoking cigarettes
before I'm out of work. it's like a death row inmate.
That's so funny.
Is like the same. I'm sorry. It was like the vibe of watching somebody on death row just kind of wait out their last few days.
Oh my God. I'd imagine.
Oh man, it was like,
it's the Kane County Chronicle, man.
I think that's happening to. That's just where journalism's going. It's all going.
It's all going online.
It's all going online.
Yep.
Which kind of recently just hit the Black Sheep, right? You guys went through some restructuring, kind of.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, we're kind of cutting our editorial side back a bit.
Yeah.
Because since we had so many writers on staff across the country, it was more so like we were getting not that great of content from everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So like we kind of structured it to like limiting the amount of writers on campuses, so like to our best ones. So you're getting quality content every time.
Yeah.
So,
do you think that's happening to a lot of similar places? They're kind of rethinking how they do everything just so they can streamline their already kind of limited resources.
Companies, like media companies in general?
Yeah, like, let me rephrase that. Like, Black Sheep, when I joined, it seemed to have a bigger emphasis on a lot of writers mm-hmm. and, like, multiple campus editors. But ever since like, this summer, it seems like you guys have sort of done away with that in a little, in kind of?
I think a lot of it, not just for us, I think it's for, like everyone across the board, like, especially doing, like, college media and, like, with a younger demographic, is
yeah.
moving more towards their social side
yeah.
to kind of bring more eyes onto their editorial base. That's how I see it happening. Where it's like the more people, like the bigger your social network is and like the more eyes you get on that, because that's like the outward facing of your brand. Oh man, I just hit the mic.
No, you good.
then it's like the easier it is to pull more people in to read the stuff that you are publishing.
Yeah. See, the Black Sheep's in a weird spot because it's not a like journalism source. So like it makes up all of its content. You know, it doesn't
yeah.
rely on sources. So
yeah.
we're kind of not held to the same standard as a lot
of yeah
but it still has the inner workings of like a normal journalism space. Like you got your editors and you got your content creators.
Yeah, contrary to probably a lot of people's thoughts, there are people who work in an office there, and there's
yeah.
people who do that for a job, and it's awesome. But
it just
yeah.
seemed like such a cool job, because when I was working at the Chronicle, there was this sort of stress in, like, even if you're reporting on some local park opening, like something so vanilla, milquetoast, you know, but you got to get all the facts right, because there are consequences if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, because I already like working in an office kind of environment like
yeah.
that, I feel like taking that out would just be the perfect job,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
The environment there is awesome. I mean, obviously there's like stress situations, but that's just because being dependent on college kids
yeah.
is not the best thing. Cause a lot of them, I'm one of them too. They're like, they're super busy with their schedules, and like, they're not checking their email all the time. And I mean, they got priorities otherwise, but.
And sometimes we just don't do stuff.
You just don't do it.
You just don't do it.
That's true. You've been good. You usually do your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you
I'm
almost always
noodle.
Do your stuff.
I'm a
you
good
are
noodle.
A good noodle.
You know what it is? I get paranoid real easily. Like, You saw that there. I told you to come at like
yeah.
6:40 for a 7 o'clock
yeah.
show, for because
no, it's,
even though nobody was on before me.
Yeah, no, it's, I think
yeah.
I feel that I'm like the same way, kind of, where I'm like, I think your point of view is like, I don't know if he's gonna show up at 6:40, so I'll tell him 6:40, so he gets here like after 6:40 but before 7.
I'm a little worried because I have a lot of musicians booked
yeah.
for the next few weeks, and I think with them, I might even just say, hey, come hear it at 4 a.m, please, because I know they'll probably get here at 6:40 p.m. Because, you know, we all know those people.
Yeah,
you know, they
yeah.
show up.
That's when
yeah.
you were telling me 6:40. I was like, oh, we gotta prep stuff and whatever. But like, I'm a super punctual person. I'm usually 5 minutes before. That's just how I always am. So,
it always freaks me out because I know that I'm going to be there on time.
That's exactly how I feel.
But
I know exactly how you feel.
I need the other person.
Late people don't know what it is. No, late people don't understand.
Yeah, so you kind of have to feel it out almost. It should be interesting, though. And to all those listening out there, if somebody comes late, you have the pleasure of listening to me freak out for 10 minutes if they're not there. So that'll be fun. So keep an ear out for that. Kind of moving on, though, you are a man of comedy. You're kind of schooled in, you know what's going on. You know
I
what's
do.
Happening.
I'm kind of aware, I think. I'd like to think that.
How do you think, this is just a topic that's I've always found kind of interesting. You ever notice that there's a lot of Netflix comedy specials?
Tons.
And there's one like every day, every
almost.
Couple days,
yeah,
almost
no.
every
All
day.
The time.
Do you think that helps or hurts comedy? I kind of want to know what you think.
I think it helps. I really do. Like, I think it just gets more eyes on it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Netflix is obviously, like, the biggest thing.
It's the biggest
ever,
thing.
Right? I think
of
it's
course.
Bigger than everything
of
ever
course.
That's ever existed.
I pray to it every night.
Yeah, you got to.
I sacrificed my dog to
you
it.
You got to do it. So it happens. But it's a hungry machine. But
I know. It's
yeah.
hungry.
I think it's really great to get more eyes on comedians. and like even people who are like are less known. Like, I mean, my favorite example of that is John Mulaney,
yeah,
who is my all-time favorite. I love him so much, man. He's my favorite person ever. I never met him, but if I did meet him, I'm sure he'd still be my favorite person ever.
Of course.
But I don't know, like that, taking him for an example, it's like his like first special, I think it's like the top part is only you can only find it on YouTube, and it's like audio only.
Yeah.
Like if you've heard it, it's really funny, but and like no one knew who he was like nobody knew who he was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like sitting there dying, and I'm like, you guys got to listen to this guy. You guys got to watch this guy. Yeah. No one did. And then now like he's the biggest deal ever just cause he's had like 3 or 4 specials on Netflix now. And like his name's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't,
it's kind of crazy because I feel like Netflix in a weird way has sort of changed how comedians are exposed, you know, because mm-hmm. normally, you do your thing. You do stand up in clubs for a while, and then eventually, and obviously I've never done this, but the vibe I always got was then you started doing more high profile shows, and eventually you would
get your Comedy Central special.
get your Comedy Central special. Yeah, it seems like Netflix has sort of in a weird way
taken that out,
replaced that.
Yeah,
because
same way like TV is kind of dying too.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to stream everything, have it when they want it. Like, if there's a Comedy Central special on at 7, like, well, what time is it now? 7:27. I can't see that if it's on. Like,
no.
But Netflix, like, go home and I can watch it.
Exactly.
That's why I think it's getting better, too. I mean,
radio kind of.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Yeah. Well, I'm kind of on the fence, actually, mm-hmm. because although I feel like it exposes a lot of comedians, I do feel it is a little oversaturated because.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of happened to the music industry is it got very oversaturated with the rise of like home music production, and just everyone does it now. Like, you're weird if you don't have an album recorded, like a music thing. If you're a musician, everyone has the tools. So then there's just a lot. Just a lot. And because of the way the internet is sort of, I'm just going to do a little rant about the music industry.
Why not?
Because the internet is sort of making everyone a bit more segmented. Like, everything's a lot more niche now. It's hard for, like, one particular artist to sort of break through the mold, kind of. And so I worried that might happen to comedy. Now, comedy's different because it's all technically one genre. You know, there's music, there's...
Unless you're a nerd with it, then you're like, oh, there's so many different ways to do it. But no, I know what you mean.
What about vaudeville comedy? slapstick?
Vaudeville.
He's a contrarian. That's incorrect. No.
That's hilarious.
It's not like music where, you know, you have
a bunch of different stuff. Yeah.
Shovelcore, death metal, and K-pop.
Yeah.
You know, two very different.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something I've always thought about. And yeah, no. I will say I'm always hesitant to like try new comics, watching the new specials. It's hard.
Like people you don't know.
It's kind of like music. I have this bad habit of gravitating towards a couple of different people.
I feel the same way. And the way it is for me is I could watch the same people.
Yeah.
All the time, and I'll still laugh. Like my girlfriend's like wants to watch something. And she's like, oh, have you seen this one? I'm like, yeah, like 7 times. She's like, oh, we won't watch it. I'm like, nah, I'd love to watch it. I'm like,
hell yeah.
I will recite it and still laugh. It's so funny. But I don't know. It's kind of like that. Doing that, being able to watch the same thing on repeat is like respecting the art, I guess. And respecting it, like how well it's written. I don't know.
I know exactly what you mean. Like I've watched all of the Hannibal Buress and Patton Oswalt specials on Netflix, but I couldn't name a single one of the newer, lesser known guys specials. And it's something I should correct, but you know.
Watch Joe Mandy.
Watch Joe Mandy?
Joe Mandy. Very funny.
I'll do it.
And Joe Rogan's obviously.
Oh, I love Joe Rogan.
Funny guy.
You listen to his podcast at all?
Yeah, here and there.
Oh yeah.
Here and there.
He does good interviews, that Joe Rogan.
He's a smart guy somehow, some way.
You wouldn't think it. No, he's a scholar. He's a philosopher.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I think we're going to do a short music break because I don't know about you, but I have no fluid in my mouth. So we're gonna listen to something cool. Then we'll do a little bit more talking. And yeah, all right. See you in a hot minute. You're listening to UIC Radio, where music and culture ignite. Little bit of a bumpy ride coming in, but we're good. You know, gotta love laggy computers. You're listening to Household Dragons. I'm so used to saying the long play now, but it's Household Dragons. I'm here with Daniel Schmult of the Black Sheep. We're talking it up about stuff and things.
Stuff.
So, how have you been since I saw you last, just now?
I've been great.
5 minutes ago?
I sipped my coffee. Oh, nice. I'm back in it.
Drinking your tea.
Getting my tea, man.
Your tea.
I'm ready to go.
So we were talking a little bit about kind of the state of comedy and Netflix, and then I think I went on a dumb, incoherent rant about the music industry. I
don't even remember. Just blacked out for that.
I kind of did. I don't know if
your hair like caught on fire.
Thank
it was
you.
Nuts.
Thank
it,
you. No, it was insane.
It was a sight to see.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm actually on enough ecstasy to kill an elephant right
now. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, it gets me through the college radio show.
That really does. That nobody gets me watches. Through the week, honestly.
Honestly, yeah. So here's another topic I kind of wanted to discuss a little bit. So how long have you been with the Black Sheep for? A few years?
About a year now. No, about
a year
now. Yeah, started it last year.
Oh, you started it last year. Yep. I didn't know that.
Yeah, last August. Wow. It was nothing before last August.
Oh, wow.
Well, nothing here, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my question was, that's also interesting, we should talk about that, but my question was, you've been satirizing UIC now for just about a year.
Just about a year.
So my question is, how has that kind of changed how you look at the school? Do you feel like you know a lot more about it now? Do you have a newfound appreciation for it now that you've been writing about it for a year?
Yeah, I mean, our brand here is so much different than our like the brand at other schools.
Yeah.
Where it's like other schools are like, yeah, man, football season's coming around. MSU's the best. Where we're like, oh,
we're
UIC
terrible.
Is great. Yeah. And it's like people like I've gotten like stuff on the Twitter where it's just like, oh, okay, that's enough. Like, that's enough negativity. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, it's all jokes. Like everyone here kind of like, you got to take it like that and go into the mindset like that. But as far as like how I see campus after writing for a whole year about it, dude, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I think like I see UH in so many different lights. Cause I've written about UH so many different times. You've done the same.
UH.
Yeah. It's everything. It's everything you want it to be. It's the perfect punchline is what UH is.
UH as a concept is stupid. Everything about UH is terrible.
And then right next to it is BSP, which is also other biggest punchline, where it's like our campus doesn't have that big of a culture.
No.
And like there's not that much stuff going on. Like other campuses have like a college town to write about, a football team, a rival. Like we don't have any of that.
It's to the point where I think UIC's campus culture is the fact that it doesn't have any campus culture.
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, that's when we, because we just started the social channels here over the summer. Like, I think it was July. We're almost at like 1,000 followers, which is pretty good for us. But we're growing pretty quick. The thing I'm trying to do with that is my initial goal, like starting it all up, was kind of to create a culture where it's like we didn't have anything to like unite students, I guess, where it's like, schools are like, oh, our football team, our basketball team. Like, yeah, UIC is like, our basketball team's great. But in reality, you go to the game, there's seven people sitting there.
It's depressing.
And four of them are parents. And, you know, and like you go to like the pyromaniac section, and it's sad.
Oh, man. Off topic, though, but how about that Spark lineup? I'm a little...
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I didn't go to the Nick Jonas thing. I wish I would have, because I feel like, genuinely, that would be a fun show.
It sounds like a fun time.
Because I feel like even though Nick Jonas is Nick Jonas, it'd be fun.
We crapped on a little bit. I mean, it's what we do for everything.
Did you go?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't know. I had to write a press release for like one of my classes.
Oh,
and
okay.
You'll probably take it. English 202. Great class.
Yeah.
But like, we had to write a press release. And she's like, yeah, you guys can go if you want and then like do more writing on it. And I was like, I'm going to go with a no on that one. I don't know. I've been to like one Spark in the Park and I left like 30 minutes early.
Who was playing?
It was the Travis Scott Young Thug one, which is actually pretty good lineup. I mean,
that's not too bad.
Decently into hip hop like every now and then. But I was like, oh, I'll see that. And I don't know. I just can't get down with this UIC held events. They're always kind of, they feel weird.
Yeah.
They feel like they're forced on me.
I was feel weird talking about this because technically UIC Radio got to keep up the campus spirit or whatever, but there is definitely a an obvious lack of enthusiasm
across the board from all the students, I think.
And sure, it's obviously because we are a big commuter school.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a lot of, you can't really use that excuse anymore, because I think for like the last few concurrent years, we've had the largest number of on-campus.
Oh yeah, we've been
residents.
Growing.
We've been growing
since I first came here 4 years ago. Yeah, we are way in a much better place than we were then.
It's been doing really well. And
yeah,
have you noticed this too? UIC, or let me track this back a bit. I always hear about schools facing budget cuts, and schools are hurting right now, and like some places are going to receive funding. Like NIU, for mm-hmm. example, is doing, I hear, granted this was a while ago, but last time I heard about them, they weren't in a good spot. Something was about to be cut, or they were cutting some departments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
UIC is weird because I feel like it's the only school that I've heard of that is doing well right now.
Kind of thriving.
Because,
the way I think it's just like, I think it's because of, one, where it's located.
Yeah.
It's really accessible for a lot of different people, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all over this area, which is tons of people over here.
Of course.
Obviously. Even, like, from the suburbs, they can come out here. And the, mm-hmm. the other reason why it's so attractive is it's cheap.
It's very cheap.
It's cheap. Okay, it's not very cheap,
I mean,
but it's cheap.
Not very cheap.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be a homeless man
when
I graduate.
Yeah. It's cheaper than everything else, and it's like the same level of education, and like that's
a good education.
You get the University of Illinois banner under our name, like
exactly.
You get that on your diploma, you look legit.
Smack that there.
Yeah, dude, it's not the University of Chicago, but I wouldn't want to go there because they seem like a bunch of nerds.
But I will say, every time somebody asks me if I do go to the University of Chicago, or ask me how the University of Chicago is going. I'd do a big ol' yes.
It's a great time over there.
Oh, I love it.
Hyde Park is the best.
They're like, dude, I hear you go to the most renowned school one of the most renowned schools in North America. I'm like,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Quite the opposite, but
you could say that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, U of Chi is interesting. It's an interesting place. I've never been, but I've met some of the people, and they are. It's interesting.
I've seen it, and it's scary looking. It's really tall, like, gothic buildings, and I'm like, I don't belong here. Get me back to my, it's like, 200-degree classroom where I'm sweating, and there's no windows.
We're so used to UIC where all the buildings look like the Hitler bunker. It's kind of,
Going kind of back to, like, how I see campus again.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where this all started. The classroom thing kind of got me, kind of brought me back to this. But, like, I don't know, like, how I see it with our, like, people at the Black Sheep, for the most part, like, yeah, we talk a lot of smack about UIC, obviously, but it's like all of us, I don't think any of us would rather be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, I hate it here, but I would hate it anywhere. And I like hating this place the most. It's got a place in my heart.
It's
hateable. Yeah. It's really grown on me since I started writing, especially too. It's like, dude, I create all these storylines about different buildings and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, dude. It's grown on me. It's getting huge. It's weird to see it blow up. So, like, it's blowing up, which is, it's crazy.
I think the fact that everything about UIC is terrible, and the buildings are weird, and, like, everything looks gross, and the area kind of sucks, and it makes it so endearing.
Yeah.
You feel like the underdog, almost.
Yeah,
you know?
We're like the rat of Chicago schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're like the cockroach. We just keep kind of kicking.
Because, like, Loyola and New Chicago and Northwestern
DePaul,
Columbia.
Columbia. All right.
Maybe.
Does that one count?
Not.
So I want to major in dancing to lettuce songs.
You can make money doing that, though. It's,
yeah.
If you do it right.
No, exactly. No, it's the same thing with the English degree.
I can't say anything because
I was
dead set on going to Columbia.
Me too.
Until I visited, and it's nothing against Columbia. It's just not my vibe.
Yep.
It's just not my vibe,
yep.
Not my cup of tea.
No, I'm in the same boat.
Sure, I want to do the stupid bohemian art stuff, but I don't want to hang out with stupid bohemian art people. We're having fun here, but let's see. No, but yeah, it feels very endearing. Like, I feel like if I went to a school that was very spirit heavy, I'd get sick of it real quick.
Yeah, it's kind of like my high school was kind of like that, really tried to push it, and I was just like, dude, I hate this so much. And I don't know, dude, even if I was at a school with a huge basketball team and a huge football team, I still wouldn't go.
Yeah.
That's just who I am, but
like,
I don't
feel
know.
Like UIC maybe they're using like reverse psychology or something. It's like they downplay all the school spirit stuff to almost make it cool to attend an event.
Dude, that's the thing though. Yeah. Their social channels played up so hard.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the Black Sheep though. We kind of foil it, but also like I will talk about stuff on our social channels, and like about the other social channels that are like the UIC accounts that are like,
yeah,
be like, oh, school, like, great, and like we'll tweet back at them, we'll quote tweet about something, like, but like ultimately that brings more eyes on the UIC stuff, so it's like, yeah, it looks like we're like hating, but like
publicity,
we're building everything up,
publicity,
dude.
Yeah,
we're building everything up, we're trying to build a brand, we're trying to make UIC great. Not again, just make it great.
just make it great period.
Like we will make
never
fun
was
of it.
Great.
Yeah. We will make fun of it until we can't anymore, but I think what we're doing is good for the school.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's pretty tight. And I think, gosh, it's to the point where I almost think that they should just hop on that. You know, they should almost realize that UIC doesn't have a lack of a campus culture. It just has a very unique one of not.
It's,
yeah.
I think it's just beginning to form. That's how I see it.
Which is weird because the school's been around for 60 years.
But for 60 years, it's been a school where people take the train here and then leave.
Yeah.
And now it's like these past 5 years have been, like, attendance has just been going crazy. And like we're building a new dorm. We're tearing down old dorms.
Yeah.
Soon. We're building them up. We're getting crazy. All the so many buildings. It's nuts.
In the John Marshall Law School.
Yeah.
That stuff is crazy. That when I read that, I was actually pretty happy. I'm like, that's a big investment. I'm glad that they made that.
I know. I tried to make fun of it, but I couldn't. I was like, oh, man, they got it.
Everything still sucks, but at least you bought a law school. Yeah. Right? Good job. A for effort.
But we don't have Obama speaking here.
That made me mad.
Right?
All right, for those of you who don't know, I got an email this morning, I think everybody else did, saying that, oh, Obama, the man's man himself, is going to come speak at U of I.
The people's person.
And I thought he was coming here because, like, he's from Chicago. This is his hometown.
This is where he'd go.
This is where he'd be, but no.
There's supposed to be a library here or something, if I remember.
There's supposed to be a library. I think there still is. Ah, oh, man. But then I read the email, and of course he's going to Urbana.
Why would they send that to us?
Just to make us jealous.
That's literally it. Like, hey, we're going to have a homeless guy speak on your stage. He's probably going to pee up there. I'm like, all right, I'll watch.
We're going to have an Obama impersonator come and reenact the ceremony.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Classic Urbana. Classic Urbana.
Urbana.
Urbana, honestly.
It's like Dinkelberg.
Oh, my God. That's right on,
now,
actually.
We're going to start writing like that. That's going to be our next storyline.
That's a new thing.
Yep.
That's the mood.
Yep. It's a mood.
Oh, man, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, this is good. This is great. So I guess to kind of not begin to wrap up, but kind of, you know, focus up a little bit. So would you encourage anyone to join the Black Sheep and start looking into satire and comedy, or do you think it's kind of only for the right kind of person, you know?
That's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Not
to exclude anyone, but
yeah,
like,
no,
do you think
I think you definitely got to kind of come in with the right mindset and be able to, okay, you got to be able to dish out heat and like jokes, but you also got to be able to take it.
Yeah.
Like someone could tell me, like, could make fun of me however they want, and I'll be like, oh man, that's good. It's kind of that, man. Like, people, like, even when we were, like, spamming Facebook groups and stuff, they still kind of do. Not as much now that we got two writers, but...
No, yeah.
It's like, you'd get comments, and you're just like, oh,
I remember I got my first negative comment on an article. It was, like, my third one. And it was literally just, this isn't funny.
You're just like, ow.
And I'm just like, that hurt more than any joke, just this blunt statement. That this guy put zero effort
in your head, you're like, you're not funny.
I'm like, but I think I just started crying. I didn't even think of like a witty.
No, I just turned off notifications for all my posts.
Yeah.
That was the best way to do it. But bringing it kind of back, focusing it back up. I think there's definitely room to kind of learn like how to do it if it's something you're interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all pretty accessible. I think I do a decent job at teaching it. I'd like to think I'm like decent at kind of communicating it.
You are terrible at it.
Yeah, I figured.
This is my elaborate way to tell you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Invite me on the show,
listener.
This is it. I'm quitting. Goodbye.
This is my formal resignation. Nah, you do a good job.
You just got to be able to take criticism, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to like kind of build up that voice.
Yeah.
Than to try and be like, this is awful. Don't do it like that again.
No, I feel you.
And we've had writers like that where it's like, I'm like, oh.
Some people just, and this isn't talking about anyone here that we've had, but I've corrected like friends' papers before, and I've even seen friends' papers. And
dude, don't get me started.
The things that some of these people get away with on their school papers, and it makes you question if English is being taught correctly.
Dude,
oh my god.
People always ask me to edit their stuff, and they're like, I'll pay you. I'm like, don't pay me. I don't care. It's a 3-page paper. Like, I can write this with my eyes closed, but I'll read it, and I'm like, how do you talk to people?
Pay me in letting me teach you how to speak English. Yeah,
I edited a bunch of med school applications this past summer.
Oh, really?
Well, not applications. Like, I guess essays. I looked at a bunch of them just because people were, like, applying.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I'm older now, but. Yeah. So everyone's like, hey, can you take a look? I'm like, yeah. And I'll go through and be like, this makes no sense. Like, what are you talking about? And mostly because it's big words that I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm stupid. And I could just write words.
The worst are, like, freshman English papers.
Dude, I hear about that from professors all the time. It's so funny. When you start getting into the upper-level English courses and you're done being, like, in the freshman ones,
yeah,
you get the tea. It's nice.
I have a friend. She works in the writing center. Or, no, she was training to work in the writing center. And the teacher, it's an actual class you can take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it, but then I think I would jump off UH if I had to actually.
I'm in the same spot because I'm like, it pays well, but I'm like, oh, what cost, though?
You know what it is? It's a bunch of people who don't want to be there. Who got sent there?
That's what I feel like.
Dude, probably there definitely have been people who went to the writing center voluntarily, but
yeah,
I would never have done that.
No, I have too much pride.
Like, dude, freshman year was like, yeah, go to the writing center if you need help. And everyone collectively was like, we're gonna not do that. And then the teacher's like, you have to go for, I'm coming with you. Like,
oh yeah,
go to the writing center. And you sit there, and the person grading your paper doesn't care, and you don't care. And both of you are just like, write a comma, get me out of here.
Just
man.
Write a comma, please. Just
please fix the comma.
it's not even a complicated thing to draw.
Like, I've had people complain. They're like, I go to the writing center and they don't even help me. It's like, well, what are you looking for? Because they're like, they just tell me like how to do it, but they don't do it. I'm like, well, they're not gonna write your paper. They can't.
And which brings me back to my story. It's kind of like, look at that. Did you like that voice crack?
That was good too. It's supposed to be a scary story.
I'm hitting through puberty. Anyway, so.
Well, careful.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to.
Oh, God. all right, breathe.
There we go.
So this teacher for the Writing Center training course or whatever hands everybody this paper. And the paper literally reads like, I like to hang out with friends. I take care of my dog. My dog is a Shih Tzu. Shih Tzus are my favorite kind of dog. I like my Shih Tzu dog because it looks colorful. My Shih Tzu dog is colored brown and white. It has white spots. You know what that essay got? An A.
What? Wait, that's a real thing?
Yeah, that was a real thing. It was a real thing. And I guess everybody's like, why? Why'd this essay get an A? And the teacher's like, sometimes just gotta let it slide.
What?
Sometimes. Because technically, the person met all the, it was like a short, it was like a short get to know you assignment, like a first week of school type thing.
Oh, that makes sense. All those get A's.
And the teacher's like, listen, it sounds terrible, and there's no style to it, and it's just the worst thing ever written, but technically, it's not wrong. The person did everything that the assignment asked, and there's no like grammar mistakes. It just sounds terrible.
That's wild.
And like you can't, which brings me to my larger point, you can't fix a person's style.
Yeah.
You know? Like you almost want to shake them and just say, write better.
That
but, like,
brings
you
us
can't.
Back to when you asked if everybody could write.
Yeah.
For Black Sheep stuff.
Some people just don't have it.
Some people just don't got it.
Some people just don't have it.
It's hard to get it into them, but
yeah.
Just got to keep doing it.
It's like, I can't run a mile, I mean, let alone under 5 minutes, let alone under like 10 minutes.
I could walk a mile. Oh, yeah.
I actually walk a mile. I live in MRH now.
That's just about a mile. Yeah.
So when the bus is full, I have to walk here.
Oh, when the bus is always full?
Oh, my God.
I lived there 2 years ago, and yep.
Yeah.
Get to know that back route by the baseball field.
You do. Yep. You very much do.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't like going along the street. I get too self-conscious because I feel like everybody driving looks at me. Is like, hey, who's this fat Danny DeVito-looking kid? Shuffling home.
When, everyone in their cars, like on the street, like, yo, let's make fun of some nerds.
Nerd!
So they're getting pelted with fruit.
And that never happens.
No, I don't think that ever happens.
It's weird.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think the back route's shorter anyway.
Yeah. No, I got to use that back route more. I just don't like the bus because of the, you have to pull the lever, you know?
That's the best part.
It's scary.
It's like a game. Like,
when do I pull the lever, man?
Nah, it's like a game. I always want to be the one that makes it beep or ding. Whenever I'm on the bus, that's my goal.
Yeah.
If I'm like, oh, I gotta get up to the stop. I gotta get up before the first person.
Because I'm so used to the blue line. Because I just lived on campus last year because it was my first year. So I'm used to just hopping on the blue line and going places. I never really used the bus, and I'm used to just kind of waiting on the blue line and just being scared for 20 minutes and not moving. And then just running off the... I'm not used to the interactive portion.
It's a whole new game.
I didn't know there was a test.
So the blue line is like is like the Sega, and then the bus is like the original Xbox.
The bus.
And then once you get on a plane...
You're done for.
It's like next generation stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy. So it's 7:57 right now. Where are you at on time?
I'm good to go. Yeah.
Just keep on trucking. I'm trying to think what else we can discuss on here, because I was all like, oh man, gotta think of topics. Here's one.
Nice.
I don't know what that was. Just a little brain fart there.
Nice.
So we talked a little bit about the world of stand up. Do you see a lot of stand up live in the city?
Here I have my spurts, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really go to like amateur stuff too much where I could. Or just go to like Laugh Factory or Zany's tonight and see what's going on. But like last year into the summer, I don't know, a pretty decent stretch. I saw Trevor Noah.
Oh shit.
It's pretty good. I mean I like his stand up a lot. A lot of people hate it, but yeah. I like Trevor Noah a lot. That Daily Show is like the ideal job. That's what I want to do, is write something
right there.
But
with you.
I saw him. I saw John Mulaney. I saw Anthony Jeselnik. The Anthony Jeselnik. If you don't like the Black Sheep, do not see Anthony Jeselnik. Don't even look him up.
Whatever happened to that guy? He was the hot topic for about 6 months.
When he had a Comedy Central show?
The Comedy Central show. Then he did like three of the roasts.
Watch his stand-up.
And he had the stand-up special.
Yeah, I saw his tour. It's really good.
He's the one who has the nightmare joke. I don't want to say it on the school radio station, but it's the one where he ties the...
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And that came out right when... God, I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school.
Yep.
And so it was like, I was really edgy back then.
Yeah.
That killed me.
That's that's funny. No, dude, his new stuff's really good.
Honestly.
His new material is really good. And then, these are cool. They have these all the time, like Clickhole shows.
Yeah, dude, I want to go to one.
I went to one
with
people from the office at the Black Sheep, and it was hilarious. It's just the craziest, off-the-wall, insane stuff. It's not a stand-up special at all. It's just a bunch of people like presenting PowerPoints that are just hilarious.
Every time I see a Clickhole article on my Facebook feed, I get so happy.
Dude,
those are the best.
It's the best.
Like, I think, and they're both, it's through The Onion, but I'm like, I get more excited than The Onion stuff.
I like Clickholes more.
Clickholes.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's just weird.
I aspire to be Clickhole.
Clickhole is pretty good.
The best hole.
The best hole.
Yeah.
Not my personal favorite hole, but it's the best hole.
Among everybody.
Among everybody, yeah. It's pretty, it's top tier stuff. It's pretty lit.
So lit.
Lit AF. I love to write for Clickhole, but I know it is a process. I hear
Dude,
you
they,
have to
they
know
cut
people.
They cut a bunch of their staff too recently.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have the insider knowledge because I'm in the field.
You're in the field.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just a yuppie. You're a big man
I'm
on
in the
campus.
Industry.
Industry man.
Yeah, no, I just oversaw a G-chat about it. Yeah, a lot of people are like, I guess, leaving. I don't want to even go into this because I have no idea what it is. But
oh, okay.
I know like some people are getting like leaving or like getting laid off or what have you.
God, if I got laid off from that job,
I'd cry. Yeah,
I'd be like, no. Because that's like the top. I think as far as satire goes, that's
my favorite.
That's number one.
Yeah,
it's top.
They're in Chicago.
They are.
It's their office. Yeah.
You follow Hard Times at all?
A little bit. Yeah. You could submit pitches there.
I submitted.
Callum's telling me you're doing that.
I did like two big emails with like 20 pitches total because they have a gaming site and then they have
Wait, they have a gaming site.
They have a. It's like a sub site through their main site. It's run by. It has their own little editorial staff.
I was literally thinking on the Blue Line the other day. I was like, I'm gonna make a satire gaming site. No one's done it.
They
it's
do it.
Done. It's been done?
Hey, live on air. I ruined Dan's dreams.
You did?
No, they have a gaming site. And they do funny stuff.
So yeah.
It's pretty good. But
the pitches, though?
I submitted, granted it was about a week ago, but I haven't heard back
when you
yet.
When you submit stuff like that every day, it's just like, email? Oh, nothing.
Yeah, you keep refreshing the feed. And you get
seven
so sad.
Times a day,
and then there's always that weird point where you're like, God, do I send the follow-up email? Do I try to
be the employee everyone tells me I need to be? the applicant everyone says.
Everybody yeah. says, oh, you gotta follow up.
Gotta
with
follow
them.
Up.
You gotta do.
Everyone follows up.
But then I'm like,
I just feel annoying.
Man. Yeah,
you left me on red. I'm like, did you see my text?
I miss you. I showed you my pitches. Answer me.
They probably respect that.
They would.
You just went at it like a whole crazy guy angle.
I hear that works for some people.
Dude, I imagine.
The one story I heard about that was, you know, H3,
mm-hmm.
that guy?
Ethan, yeah.
Yeah, Ethan. So I listened to his podcast and I overheard one episode. I guess their intern, who does a lot of like their book work for them, got their job because he sent them now... I might not be quoting the right number, but it was something crazy, like over 1,000 emails. He just kept something to do, like he just kept going after them and kept like
trying.
Asking for a place. And he eventually got it. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And he has like a paid. I think they pay him. Or
they
something.
Should.
Yeah, I hope so.
They got it like that, dude.
Yeah,
they really do.
Yeah, it like on the one hand, man, I'd love to. Try that and just try berating these people until they give me employment. But at the same time, I hate to like
burn
a bridge because I was too annoying, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the struggles of being in college and wanting to do stuff. That's it.
It's the age old thing where like, I want to get this internship for experience, but I don't have enough experience to get the internship.
Yep.
That's a whole discussion.
That's why you should come work for the Black Sheep, because it's where you get your experience, and it's a nice thing to put on a resume.
I'm thinking
you should come. You should
come
work.
That's where it's going.
Yeah.
I think, unless this radio show blows up, which it will, it's guaranteed.
100%.
Too big to fail.
Easily, bro.
Bigly.
No doubt.
Yes. Bigly. We're making the rhymes. It has been another half hour, so I think I'm gonna take another musical break because. That is the way to do it. But I'm not going to stop talking until the Spotify decides to work. So let's try it now.
Does it work?
Oh, it looks like it's working. So all you guys listening, prepare for either a cool alternative rock song or a few seconds of awkward silence. All right, here we go. See you in a hot minute. We're Music and Culture Ignite. We're back, and I have some bad news. I think Mr. Dan has to leave us for the night.
Gotta walk my dog.
Yes, you do.
I gotta walk him.
Gotta walk
Man's
your,
gotta pee.
Your doggy dog. What's that noise?
All right.
Man, you can really hear right through there, can you? Got it. I hope this... So, I don't know if you guys can hear this right now, but... We can hear right through the top of the roof. It's a little distracting. But
I can hear words.
Anyway, so I think we're good. Now, if you can't hear it, audience members, please disregard what we just said. But Daniel, go for it. Plug what you got to plug.
Come through. Check out our Twitter and Instagram account, BlackSheep_UIC. That's where we're posting all of our UIC stuff. We're growing pretty fast, having a good time over there. If you want to check out our national page, at TheBlackSheep99, that's both on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
And then head over to our YouTube page, man. Check out The Black Sheep. We got a couple series up there that we're really promoting. They're fun time.
Awesome. Time. Well, thank you for coming on again. Really appreciate it. So, yeah, we're going to kind of transition. You can feel free.
Swag.
Get out of here.
Later.
Leave. Leave. You've done enough damage. All right, so for those of you still listening, we actually got another hour-ish to go. So I'm going to be real with you guys. I kind of lied a little bit. If you've been following my social media channels, or heck, if you even listened to the first episode now on SoundCloud, you might have noticed that I made a big deal about the long play being defunct as of right now. Well, that is actually a lie. We're going to bring it back for tonight. It's going to be pretty lit. I got a surprise for y'all. You're going to love this. All right, ready? So tonight we're going to be bringing back in a shorter format. We're going to be listening to Queen. Yeah, the Queen, like Freddie Mercury Queen. I don't think there are any other Queens. Queen of England.
Yep.
Queen of England, maybe. Dan just recommended Queen of England, but that is not the Queen we're listening to. We're listening to the Queen. In fact, we'll be listening to Queen's Live Rock Montreal. Not the full album. I made a little supercut of all the best tracks from the album. We're going to be doing it. I'm excited. I thought of this. Originally, I was just going to kind of talk out of my butt for an hour. But then I'm like, oh, this will be great. This is a good idea. So we're going to listen to some awesome Queen classics for the next hour or so. All live, too. Before I start it up, I just want to say, I think Rock Montreal is probably the best live album ever. I'm just going to say it. And possibly the best live music film ever. Just great. Definitely go check it out. I'm going to convince you of that right now. I'm going to let Freddie introduce the first song off of our little medley here. So I'll see you in a hot minute. Please enjoy Queen's Live Rock Montreal. Thank you so much. I'll see you in a few minutes. You're listening to UIC Radio, where music and culture ignite. We're nearing the end of our little excursion through the world of Queen, and gosh, we're nearing the end of this episode just as a whole. Wow, I can't believe we made it. Yeah, I just kind of found out a few days before I started that this would be a 2-hour gig instead of a 1-hour one, so that was interesting. But hey, we're making it work. You get 2 full hours of me. That's pretty. I call that a win. I don't know if you guys call that a win. I call that a win, definitely. Before I go off to places unknown, I just want to do my normal shout-outs. First of all, I'm going to need every single one of you with a pulse, and that means all of you. All of you. You got to go out and follow UIC Radio. Oh, I forgot to do the sign-on. You're listening. No, I did. Never mind. I did. Okay. You got to go out and follow UIC Radio, please, if you could. You got to follow it. Got to follow it on Twitter. Got to follow it on Facebook. Got to follow it on Instagram. Got to follow it on Snapchat. You got to personally follow every DJ, every blogger. Got to follow them home. Don't kill them. Just follow them home. Just got to follow them. Got to follow them. Secondly, if you could, give Household Dragons a good old one of those likes, if you could. One of those follows. I'd really appreciate it. And I'd love to see you back here next week. We have a very cool guest coming in next week. He's also another friend of mine. He was in my movie class. We watched movies in a class. It was pretty good. And I talked to him like 2 times. It was pretty good, but it'll be cool. So join us again next week. What else? Also, since we are very early in the game, I do have some spots to fill on my schedule of guests. So if you think that you are cool enough to speak to me in a humid room for 1 to 2 hours, please, hit me up. I'd love to talk to you, maybe possibly entertain getting you on here, sharing what you do. You can message me through any one of my social channels. I'd very much appreciate it. Yeah, seriously, please do that. Looking for people, always on the hunt. One final thing, please. I'd like to give a shout out to the Involvement Fair is coming up this weekend. I just want to give a shout out to every place involved in that Involvement Fair. For you freshmen who might be listening or don't know, the Involvement Fair is a magical place where you go from being lonely to having friends in a fun club. It worked for me. It's how I got this gig and how I got another few. It's how I got my friends, basically. If it weren't for the Involvement Fair, I would really be hating it here. And so I encourage anyone with any good sense to go over there. It's a good time, good people. If you're there, definitely hit up the Model United Nations tent or table or whatever. We don't have a tent. We're not that cool. They are good people, wonderful people. And also hit up UIC Radio's tent, I'm sure. That's great. You might be wondering, Jonah, when is the Involvement Fair? Well, that would mean that I need to actually know that, and I actually don't. It is coming up. And that's for you to find out. Find out when the Involvement Fair is. That's, you're old enough. You're an adult. You gotta go do that. Let's see. What else? All right, so I got one more song on the Queen, but I'm gonna sign out right now, but I'll give you a hint about what this next song is. It's Queen's worst song. Everybody hates this one. It's the one they start playing and everybody's like, oh, not this song. Anything but people hate it. And I'm sure you will too. Once again, see you next time. You all are special in your own unique way. Never forget that. Tune in next time. Same bat time, same bat channel every Thursday, 7 to 9. Catch you guys later. This is